God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We are starting a stewardship theme, and our theme this year is Excel in the Grace of Giving. Today's message is based on the title, Overcoming Greed, picking up from the book of Ecclesiastes. And I will admit, we usually do not hear much from Ecclesiastes, but from chapter 5, verse 10. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. And what advantage has their owner but to see them with his eyes? Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep. This is our text. Now, I will admit, I usually do not hear this from our members of Trinity as much as I hear it from people outside of Trinity. The phrase that I'm talking about is all that the church talks about is money. One of the reasons why I usually don't hear this complaint coming from Trinity is either you're speaking about it behind my back, or, the more truer reason, I usually don't talk about money. And there's a reason why I like to avoid the topic of money. Money makes people a little squeamish and makes sometimes people get a little resentful. And because of that, I have a fear, you know, that's that people pleaser within me. I really don't want to offend you, so let's just avoid the topic. Unfortunately, for me, I cannot continue to neglect this topic, at least for this week and the next 2 weeks afterwards, because of the fear of the people's reaction. Because there's a very important concept that goes on in our stewardship theme of excel in the grace of giving. We need to realize that Jesus does indeed speak on money, strangely enough, more than any other topic. And I will admit that sort of caught me by surprise. But today's topic, we're going to be looking at more the concept of greed. And there's a reason why. Because our text, based on the writings of King Solomon, the king of Israel, who would be the wealthiest king, probably, of all the people, all the kings of Israel. Basically, he writes these words: he who loves money will not be satisfied with money. And he should know, being the richest king of Israel, he's the one that had all that money. And maybe he's writing this out of a little confession of his own. Even with all that money, there was still an unstirring settledness within his heart that money could not please. Interesting line of thought. But today I'm going to connect that with overcoming greed, because more than likely you're not in the same situation that King Solomon was in, being the richest of the land. And so for those of us who don't quite fit in his tax bracket, let's just bring this down a couple notches for us. We still can struggle with the concept of greed in our lives. And greed is something that chokes life. Now, what do I mean of something that chokes life? Life is being connected to Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ calls us to abide in him, and he in us, and there is life. Greed does something. It somewhat chokes. Now, I will admit, Jesus uses the example that he is the vine and we are the branches. And so, you know, you get that beautiful parallel that the branches receives its life from the vine. Fair enough. Now, I don't want to gross you out with this analogy, so I'll apologize ahead of time. But while I was spending my year internship in Iowa, one of our members there was a sheep farmer. And being a city boy, I knew nothing about sheep except for they're mostly either black or white. They have wool and they go baa, and they sometimes taste good on the dinner plate. That was about my extent of sheep. So needless to say, when I'm visiting the farm, I was kind of surprised that sheep have tails. And then some sheep didn't have tails. I was told that, yes, they were born with tails, but, you know, for the sake of the sheep, they usually cut off the tails. I'm going and imagining, oh, how gruesome. How do you cut off the tails? And he said it was really simple. You put a large rubber band on the tail to the point where you want it to be cut off. And I said, doesn't this hurt the sheep? And he says, no, the sheep doesn't feel a thing. And then over a period of time, that rubber band cuts into the skin, cuts off the blood supply, and the tail just naturally falls off. The sheep are not in any pain, and it's good for the sheep. Unfortunately, this is what greed can do to each and every one of us. It chokes us off from the author of life. And in doing so, we could eventually be severed from the author of life, and which we also then would fall off and we would die. Unlike the sheep, there is great pain in this death of eternal death and damnation. We do not want to go there. So how does greed cut us off from life? In one essence, greed is also a denial of the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. When greed starts consuming a person, it does so in a very selfish way that sort of starts dismissing this petition. Daily bread. God is going to take care of you. With this petition, we trust in Christ for all that we need to maintain this physical life. So greed does separate us from life, separating us from Christ. It wants us to trust in our own abilities to acquire and store instead of Christ giving of gifts. We have to remind ourselves that all that we are, all that we have, all that we will be is a gift of God. In the beginning, there was nothing, and God said, let there be, and there was. Including my own life? Yes. It's not mine. I do not own anything. You know, fair enough, I might be able to show you the deed to my car. Maybe one of these decades, the deed to my house. But is it really anything of it really mine? The answer is no. These are all gifts from God that is now my responsibility to manage. I myself am nothing. But God is the one who gives gifts. So as I receive God's gifts, I now manage them. But now, for whose sake do I manage them for? Do I manage them for my own personal sake, for my own personal edification and glory? Or do I manage them for the glory of God? Yes, the fourth petition reminds me that, yes, some of these gifts are definitely designed for me. To take care of me, to take care of my household. Nothing wrong with that. But then, did God give me more gifts? Also for the benefit of my neighbor. This also is true. These gifts are also in different forms. It's not just, quote-unquote, money. Money is just a tool. But God gives all our gifts, all for all our lives. These different forms, it is not just about money, but as the old cliche may say, it is about time, treasure, and talents. But that's an old cliche, and in today's world, we need to expand upon that old cliche just a little. Let me add a few more to the list. How about love? How about attention? How about energy? Emotions? The list can go on and on. Does not God give you who you are and how you love, forgive, put your time, and not just time? There's a difference between going 100% at something versus going 10% at something. Our emotions? Do we invest ourselves into the situation? Because if God is asking us to manage who we are and what he gives to us, I have to realize all the different gifts, including who I am, of my time, energy, emotions, love, and forgiveness that I can give. So let me ask the question. Am I always at my best in every project? Or do I slough off on things? Am I always loving? Am I always caring? Am I always giving? Am I always giving to my family the love and support that they need? When a request is made of me, maybe it's to take out the garbage, do I immediately bounce up from what I'm doing right away and do it with 100% energy? Needless to say, this concept of greed is strong. Consider the request of a mom asking the little one to help with the dishes. And the little one says, "Oh, I'll do it in a moment or two. I'm just watching TV. Can it wait for the commercial?" What is the little one in one essence saying? "I'm not going to do it right away. There's something more important." Now, fair enough, that's part of those management type decisions. What are we going to do with our time, our energy? And is my heart really in the project? These are all questions we have to ask ourselves when it comes to managing what God has given to us. You see, what greed does is greed says, "No, this time, my emotions, my love, my forgiveness, I'm going to keep to myself, and I will dish it out when and where I want." Fair enough, as managers, we can, and we can make wise decisions or unwise decisions. Christ calls us to make wise decisions because it's not so much as a timing of when the dishes get done. It's a timing of what the heart says. Are we invested? Are we connected to Christ? So here's my main connecting point. If greed separates us from Christ, separates us by being selfish and self-centered, the opposite of greed would be then to get reconnected back to Christ. As Christ is the perfect example of the ultimate giver, he who dies on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, to which we rejoice and say, "Amen, we are forgiven." But he is the giver again, because he gives of his own true body and blood with that bread and wine, again to help us to overcome our sinfulness, to overcome the greed in our life by connecting himself, the author and giver of all life, to us as sinners. So our greed is trying to choke off that life which Christ wants to give to us. Christ, especially through the Holy Spirit, comes and tries to burst through that rubber band, to overcome the grips that greed may have on us. Remember, it is the love of money, not money in and of itself. So how does Christ, the great giver, overcome our greed? When we are connected with him at the Lord's Supper, we have to really realize what's happening. It is at the Lord's Supper when Christ again gives of himself for us poor sinners in need. But it's more than just forgiveness, strength of faith, forgiveness of sins. This is why we call it Holy Communion. Because as we gather at the communion table, we are connected to Christ. And Christ is connected to all Christians throughout time and eternity. And that connection reminds us we are not in it alone. This isn't something that God sits there and says to all of us in humanity, "Go carve out your own favorite cave in this world and I will take care of you." Instead, he says, "I'm going to put you in a community of believers." So when you come and you kneel at this altar, you are not communing just with the people here at Trinity, but all believers in Christ that transcend time and eternity. A miracle that we cannot fathom. But with this miracle, we have to say there's much more going on. It's not just about me, but it's about the community. Christ gives to us so that we in turn may give to one another. Remember, when God created Adam, he said it was not good for Adam to be alone, and created community, Eve. Notice our own God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, but community. The aspect of the Trinity. God gives you gifts. Your strength might be someone else's weakness. We need each other as we need Christ. Some may ask, well, why doesn't God just give us all that we need so that we can be individuals and self-sufficient? Where do you want your place in heaven? By yourself or in community? Heaven's going to be a wonderful, glorious place with lots of people, not by yourself. The whole aspect of what God has created in the definition of life is within community. How does greed help with community? It does not. Greed, henceforth, is the antithesis of that of life. So we come this day seeking life from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, seeking his very true body and blood, seeking that forgiveness of sins, seeking to be reinvested again by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ so that we can make wise investments with what Christ gives to us. And do we make unwise investments? The answer is true. We sometimes do. We make bad decisions. We do not always fully utilize the time, the talents, the treasures, the love, the emotions, the forgiveness, the relationships in which Christ has given to us. And at times like this, we fail. So we return back to the source of life. We return to the one who created us, who redeems us, and still gives us that life again. The one who feeds us with his own body and blood to overcome the very weakness we cannot overcome, that of greed in our life. So when it seems like greed is getting the best of us, when it seems like we made very poor decisions with the management of what God has entrusted to us, let us return to the source of that life, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as he gives of his life for you, for me, for the entire world, in his name. Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.